Today's the 24th of May, 1994. We're in Squim, Washington. I'm Colonel Richard L. Weaver, and I'm talking to Lieutenant Colonel Sheridan W. Cavett, U.S. Air Force retired, and also present in the room is his wife, Mary. And, Colonel, you don't mind that I tape record this, do you?
Go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. So as I explained to you before I turned the tape recorder on, we're conducting this interview of you as one of the people who's routinely identified as being involved in the so-called Roswell incident that happened in 1947, in July 1947, wherein it's been alleged that some sort of material was recovered from the desert near Roswell, New Mexico. The Air Force official version at the time was it was purported to be some sort of weather balloon. Since that time, a number of claims have been made by many people that this was some sort of extraterrestrial craft, if you will. And depending on which story, it was either the wreckage of a craft and or bodies as that were recovered, according to some versions of that. So what I'd like to ask you now is just to confirm you were with the Counterintelligence Corps at that time of the U.S. Army in 1947.
Army Air Corps.
When did you get transferred to Roswell, sir?
I went to Roswell after going to the CIC school in Baltimore, Maryland at Camp Oliver in 1946. I do not remember the month. My wife might, but it was in the fall, was it not?
47.
Was it 47? Early 47?
June of 47.
June?
Yeah, I think on your records you graduated in June of 47.
From Oliver?
From Oliver, yeah.
Okay, all right. I told you, my dates are slipping in my mind.
I have the same problem when I try to remember.
I remember of July of 47. I hadn't been there very long.
Did you know Major Jesse Marcel, who was the intelligence officer at Roswell during that time?
Oh, yes. I knew Jesse and his wife and his son. Okay. We're very close friends. We were in the same building in the CIC office, and it was next to the intelligence office.
Okay.
We associated socially as well as in business.
Senior officer, the commander of the detachment there at Roswell?
I guess you would say that. I was the only commissioned officer. And, I had two enlisted agents working for me, quote unquote.
Who were the enlisted agents that worked for you?
The senior was a master sergeant by the name of Rickon. And the young agent there, Jack Williams.
Okay.
I later had more other people working for me after CSI ceased. OSI took over for the Air Force, the investigative agency.
That actually came, I think, in September is when Air Force first started.
And you
were one of the charter members of OSI, as I understand from the historian.
Over from CIC into OSI. And then went to school, OSI school later.
Okay. You reported, through your chain of command, you didn't report to General Blanchard, the base commander. You went through, like we did in OSI, through the separate chain of command, as I understand it. Is that right?
Yeah, our parent organization was 700 CIC, and I believe that they had a sort of a branch up in Colorado at that time, but I think most of our work was sent directly back to Bowling at that time. I'm a little fuzzy on this. Because I wasn't in the organization very long, you know.
Okay. And General Blanchard was the base commander, and everybody else in the 509th basically reported to him then.
Oh, yeah, Colonel Blanchard at that time.
Yeah, excuse me, yeah, Colonel Blanchard.
He was a wing commander at 509th. Right. No, I didn't report to anybody on the base.
Right, just like in OSI.
Yeah, yeah. I associated and coordinated stuff with Marcel, but I had no responsibility to Blanchard or Marcel.
Do you recall an incident that happened during the early part of July when you were asked to accompany Major Marcel to go recover some wreckage of anything?
Well, there again, I couldn't swear to the dates, but in that time, which must have been that time,
okay.
We heard that someone had found some debris out not too far from Roswell. And it looked suspicious. It was unidentified. So I went out, and I do not recall whether Marcel went with Rickett and me. I had Rickett go with me. I went out to this site. There were no, as I understand, checkpoints or anything like that, going through guards and that sort of garbage. We went out there and we found it, and it was a small amount of, as I recall, bamboo sticks, a reflective sort of material that would, well, at first glance you probably think it was aluminum foil or something of that type. And we gathered up some of it. I don't know whether we even tried to get all of it. It wasn't scattered. What I call, you know, extensively, like it just drug along the ground and splattered off some here and some there. And we gathered up some of it and took it back to the base. And I remember I turned it over to Marcel. As I say, I do not remember whether Marcel was there or not on the site. He could have been. And we took it back, and took it back to the intelligence office, or the CIC office.
What did you think it was when you recovered it?
I thought it was a weather balloon.
Okay, were you familiar with weather balloons at the time? Or
I had seen them. As I recall, I'm really reaching back, I think they were equipped with a radio sonde or something like that that transmitted data from when it got up to altitude. Mm-hmm. What altitude, I have no idea. And somebody on the ground received it, and that way they got some information about what was happening up there.
Okay.
This is all over my head.
Yeah.
No, it when I saw it, it was too flimsy to be anything that would carry people or anything of that sort.
It looked
never
like
even crossed my mind that it could have been anything but a radio sonde.
How did you get the report that the material was out there?
That I don't recall.
Okay.
That I don't recall. Just looking back on it, I imagine somebody called the 509.
Mm-hmm.
509 called Marcel and said, there's something over here, wherever. And then more and more thinking back on it now, I must have been with him and must have said, Cabot, let's go out and look, see what they have.
Did you just make one trip out to the area?
I can't recall ever making that one trip.
And you think it was you, Marcel, and Rickett that were...
Well, I'm not even sure it was Marcel, but okay. I know Rickett.
Rickett was there.
Yeah.
Okay. When you got back with this stuff and you turned it over to the intelligence office, what happened then?
Nothing, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
I don't think I even made a report to... Our CIC, it's coming back now, 700C was the CIC headquarters.
700C was the CIC?
Yeah, I don't think I even made a report to them, which I normally would if there was anything at all unusual.
Do you remember the newspaper?
Yeah.
It actually was, I think, July 7th, 1947, where this now famous newspaper where it says they found a flying disc in Roswell. That was actually the Roswell paper was the first one. How about you, Mary? Do you remember that?
I don't remember. No. We took the local paper. Just the weather report.
We were so new there. In fact, I think I had just been there just a few days because I'd been up to my sister's wedding in Medford, Oregon. And I don't think at that time we might not even been taking the paper we heard, you know?
I don't remember anything in the paper.
We heard nothing. Of course, we didn't associate with people on the base either.
Yeah, I understand.
No, it was...
I'm brand new. Jesse and the Marcells are our best friends. But that started about the 1st of July and I'm on.
After you found this, sir, do you remember any sort of unusual activity occurring, like big military alert or...
No.
People going out from the base in large numbers and high security and...
No. The reason I would not have been involved in anything like that, if there was, in fact, any activity like that, I was counterintelligence corps.
Right.
This didn't have anything to do with counterintelligence. It didn't look to me. Somebody lost a weather balloon. I couldn't care less. Tough luck.
But when you went out and saw this material, there was no doubt in your mind that this was some sort of man-made material, and you thought at the time it was a weather balloon.
Or some sort of
balloon.
When I first saw it.
When you said the wreckage wasn't very much, could you... Was it as long as at your house here, or...
No.
Just a small little clump, or...
Maybe it's... As long as this room is wide.
So, 20 feet maybe, huh?
Some here. No concentration of it, no marks in the ground.
No crater,
where it
no marks.
Dug up anything, hitting, or anything like that. It was just out on the territory around Boswell, Mexico. It's just good for growing sheep. They don't eat too well.
Yeah, I don't imagine. I probably have to eat on a run out there. Do you remember at the time the article or the photo of General Ramey and Marcel holding up a piece of material? Have you seen that since that time?
Oh, I've seen it, yeah. But at the time, I don't recall seeing anything like that.
In that photo, or those, actually there's four separate photos there, where Marcel, I think, is in two of them, holding up material. Does that look like the material that you picked up out of the desert? Actually, it's in this book, if you don't mind.
I was going to say that I think that's...
I don't remember. What do you...
Here's the first picture, actually with Jesse Marcel, and then that's General Blanchard and his...
I think staff. This was taken at headquarters in Cardwell.
Yeah, that's right, that's correct.
Yeah. And I, obviously, Marcel took it
to Fort Worth.
Fort Worth.
But...
Yeah, that's the type of
but
stuff.
But this is... Doesn't look like they substituted anything from what you found?
No.
And is this about the extent of the material? I realize you can't see all of it in any of the pictures, but... Or was there a large... could you fill up an airplane with it, or...
Oh, good God. You couldn't fill up an Oronco with it. Yeah. I can't tell what those sticks looked like, but as I recall, to me they looked like bamboo or some sort of very small lath type material that had been ripped out.
Could you break them or bend them, or
did
you?
I did try.
Okay.
I did try. It was somebody else's balloon, as far as I was concerned. I didn't want to fool around with it.
After you picked that up and you turned it over to Marcel, did you ever hear anything more about this? Did people from Washington come and talk to you about it, or did you have to swear any security oaths or debriefing statements, or?
I don't remember anybody from Washington coming there. It's possible if somebody came over to talk to Marcel that I didn't even know about. But to my knowledge, no. Certainly nobody from Washington. I would have, I think remembered that. Somebody, the head shed coming down to talk. Well, certainly I would have. I was not sworn to any secrecy ever about anything of this.
So as far as you are concerned, there was none of this was ever classified. There was no attempt to cover up this information or to classify it.
Well, let's put it this way. As far as I knew, I'd never heard of anyone say, don't talk about this, and it's hot stuff. I think Marcel would have, well, I'm sure he would have told me something.
Would he have, or did he ever say anything to you after this incident occurred until the time he left, or even anywhere up until the time that he died?
Oh, Rick. Dealing with him there in the office or in the next office to him, so he probably said something about it, that he'd taken it down to Ramey or something, but nothing that would, stick in my mind of importance. You understand what I mean? If he'd have said, something like, I took it to 8th Air Force Headquarters, General Ramey was excited, they're going to take it to Wright Pat or wherever they allegedly took it. I'm sure I would have remembered that.
Was there any, it's been alleged in a number of books, including the one by Randall and Schmidt that we have here, that there were a number of these airplane flights back and forth of C-54s and B-29s going either to Wright Pat or to Kirtland or to Fort Worth, back and forth, loaded up under very tight security, hauling this wreckage. Do you recall any of that going on?
Nothing.
And then it's indicated, in not directly, that there were some, quote, counterintelligence people from Washington, or Andrews, as they said in the book, who had come out there and apparently done photographs or crime scene searches or whatever, there was nobody else out there from the CIC or intelligence corps that you knew of, other than Rickett?
Not to my knowledge. That I made a boo-boo. I said a 700C was at Bowling. I believe now that you mentioned Andrew, it could have been Andrew.
Okay.
But no, nobody came out.
Okay.
Maybe they did, maybe they didn't talk to me. CIC did some crazy things in those days. I mean, they shunted some people around. But
it would have been likely, had you been involved in recovering of something that was kind of special, that they would have talked to you.
I think they would probably ask me, Cal, what did you see? Right.
Did Rickett ever talk to you about this again?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Right about that time, just before OSI was formed and we all were sorted into OSI, I think he went on a special undercover job up to there's an air base somewhere up here in Washington.
Fort Lewis, I think.
Was it Lewis or McCord?
I don't remember anyway. He went on an undercover assignment. And that's what I said about CIC doing some crazy things. They didn't even tell me. I was his boss locally. They didn't even tell me what he'd gone up. He used to be a mechanic at one time, Rick Dead in the Air Force, for Air Corps. And I think they were having some trouble with their planes being what they thought was sabotaged, and they asked him to go up there and like an airplane mechanic, which he could do pretty good. But outside of that, I don't know anything Rick did.
One of the things that it was mentioned in this book, and I don't know how much you read it, is that Rickett, sometime later that fall apparently, he went with a scientist by the name of Dr. La Paz, and he accompanied him, and they went around to various places. Dr. La Paz was a well-known person.
I knew of him. I never met La Paz personally, but I knew what he was.
Did Rickett go with him, that you recall, and accompany him around?
He could have, but it certainly doesn't stick to my mind. He might have, like, it wouldn't be for an extended period of time, I don't think, because we needed him around the office.
Well, Rickett's were friends of ours too,
uh-huh.
And his
yeah,
wife, and I don't remember Mac ever saying that.
Mac was his wife.
As what?
No.
You know, and that
Billy,
as you call it, he's gone for a long time.
He could have, but Rickett go off the deep end once in a while. He was a fantastic storyteller. He worked for an insane asylum up in the Washington, D.C. area. I think his wife worked there also. And he would sit around and tell some of the most hilarious, ridiculous stories about things that happened in this nut house, so to speak.
Is it St. Elizabeth's? That's the big
one.
That's a government mental institution.
In the Washington, D.C. area, I forgot.
That's a big one up there.
Because I was there in the Washington area for a while, but I never did. With the insane asylum.
Yeah, it's always best to keep it that way if you
can,
right?
No. Well, I put it again, he might have gone off with La Paz for a few days, but I can't imagine what excuse I would have been given as to why he'd be out moving around with an astronomer. La Paz was a well thought of individual there in New Mexico, and I imagine all over the United States, he's got quite a reputation.
Well, he did quite a bit of work for the Air Force, as I've found through research.
Contract work or something, yeah.
But there was nothing that you knew of that he did as a direct result of this incident of the stuff that you recovered out there.
No. Well, of course, I could have been held in the dark about it, but as far as I know.
Okay. Excuse me. I went through and pulled out wherever in this book, UFO Crash at Roswell by Randall and Schmidt. This is a 1991 one here. I pulled out wherever you were identified, and they never identified you by name except in the credits when they interviewed you. But they always referred to you as the senior CIC man, the senior CIC agent, and
yeah.
They identified Rickett and Marcel, of course,
yeah.
By name.
Uh-huh.
And there's many things that are in the book that people said that you said,
uh-huh. I got better.
Or implied that you said without, you know, without directly saying it. Colonel Cabot told me that such and such.
Yeah.
I pulled a couple of these out, and I'll just ask you if you could comment on it to see if they how they ring with your memory of the incident. The second fellow we interviewed, this is right off the front on page six, the second fellow we interviewed was an agent in the Counterintelligence Corps. He accompanied another intelligence officer on the initial trip to the crash site, and we believe wrote a report of the incident for his superiors in Washington. Implying that was you, that was since you were the senior guy.
I'm just reading this in the book. I assume when I read this thing the first time, they sent me a big deal, you know.
Yeah, autograph copy.
Autograph copy and all that. Correct. No, I didn't say anything like that.
On the next page, on seven, it says, again, this is referring to you. It said, at first, this intelligence agent refused to admit that the event had occurred at all. There had been no newspaper story, no fuss, not even recovery of a weather balloon. After much prodding, he was willing to admit that something came down and was recovered, but that was as far as he would go. He admits no personal involvement, even though other reliable sources gave him a central role. Now that kind of sums up everything in this.
Now, from the very start, when these clowns started hounding me, Randall and Smith, I told them they accused me of covering up and having signed the security.
That's Berlitz and Moore.
Now, see, he was here at the house. I've heard numerous deals on the radio when I'm listening at night. And
oh, yeah, transcripts?
All this has been all over many
times. I told these guys when they first talked to me, I said, I have taken no security oath. I'm under no obligation to not tell you anything, because as far as I'm concerned, it wasn't anything other than a weather balloon. And I said, I want you to quit inferring that I'm staying silent under an oath of security. And finally, I think about 2 years later, Randall told me, hey, we believe you. It was getting ridiculous. I was getting so sick and tired of this garbage.
Yeah, I sensed a little reluctance when I first called up and just like, oh no, here we go again type of thing.
Well, I did, really. But I understand.
Right behind it, turned him on. He gets so many phone calls. I usually have the phone. I usually say, who's calling, please? And then I don't know whether Gabby wants to
Flock.
Have somebody write a book.
Have you heard of Flock?
I know who he is, yeah.
He's our chief debunker. I lean toward him.
Rick, you have not read the Randall Schmidt latest book?
I've not. I've tried to find it, and I haven't been able to find it.
But it just came out in April.
They haven't sent me a copy yet.
I think they're mad with me. didn't they tell us that they found some new information and it wasn't at the spot thing?
Right.
As I understand it, the new information, and this may not be quite right since I haven't read it, but this is hearsay, is that there was this crash, what they call the crash site, mm-hmm. where apparently you were at and picked up this material, and then there's another one 120 miles or so away.
A ricochet.
Yeah, which at one time was on the plains of San Augustine, and now is apparently in his new book been changed to a location closer to Roswell, and that's where these bodies were supposedly recovered. Now, and I think their new research has to do with that aspect of it.
Well, we haven't seen it, but I know it came out in April.
Okay, let's see. Also on the same page, it said the CIC responded to the phone call. Jesse Marcel was one of the intelligence and the CIC responded to the phone call. Jesse Marcel was one of them. Colonel William Blanchard, the commander, and the other officer suggested that Marcel and CIC agent accompany Brazel to the ranch to see what was there. Brazel, of course, was the the farmer who apparently came in and made the original report.
Yeah. To the best of my recollection, I never met the rancher.
Razzle. Okay. Because as I go through here, you'll see that you're accused, claimed to have been with him on a number of occasions, and basically it was alleged that the Army Air Corps had imprisoned him, if you will, for about a week and kept him away from everybody. Not that you personally did, but the Army Air Corps in general. The trip to the ranch took the rest of the afternoon. They were forced to stay in a small cabin with no electricity and no running water. The next morning they headed out to a field where Brazel had found the debris. So this would have been you and whoever else accompanied you.
Totally made up or fabricated or whatever.
Okay.
I didn't have any experiences like that of spending a night out on a ranch. Yeah.
Eating a can of beans.
Eating a can of beans? Yeah, that is in fact mentioned in one of the...
Yeah.
Okay, now this... Marcel would later say that the material was like nothing he had ever seen. It was just, the metal was as thin as newsprint and light as a feather. It was flexible but very strong. He tried to dent it with a sledgehammer, but Marcel and the CIC agent tried to burn it and it would not burn. It was lighter and stronger and more fire resistant than any of them had ever seen. Marcel, along with the counterintelligence agent, picked up as much as they could and began loading in Marcel's convertible and the counterintelligence agent's Jeep carryall vehicle with the rear box. So apparently, according to Marcel's version of the story, and I don't know when this was given, sometime after 1978, you hammered on it and tried to rip it and did other stuff with it, and it was like nothing you'd ever seen.
No.
I remember we were at the Marcel's house, and I can remember Jesse had something on a pad, and then went out to the, took it out onto the back porch. Now I remember that. Cap doesn't remember that.
What, some sort of material, metal material, or?
And it's in one of these books, and then they, as little Jesse said, they submitted over that deal for the therapy.
Oh, yeah, okay, I remember
but that. I could visualize the stove of where they were, and we were out there, probably.
Now, he could have had somewhere at the house.
I honestly do remember that.
Okay.
Well, I mean, this, so, I'm talking about...
Was it just like tinfoil type stuff, or do you recall?
I don't remember.
Just something.
I remember. And he could have had it somewhere at the house, and it was this, that looked like a foil or some sort. And he could have tried to burn that, and it didn't burn very well. I don't know. I don't remember that. I can't imagine what he'd be beating on it with a hammer for. It would make sense.
One of the other things, I'll just jump real quick since it's the same thing, was that you had tested the material with a Geiger counter. Did you ever have a Geiger counter that...
No.
I mean, that's not standard OSI, CIC issue that
honest
I'm aware of.
God, no.
I've never seen a Geiger counter myself, but I didn't know
I've never seen one, and I what a CIC agent would have. No, they have...
Okay. That was that comes...
We won't go into that any further.
Okay. Did you have a Jeep carryall? Was that the...
No.
When you went out to the site, do you remember how you got out there?
I don't. There's a possibility we could have taken a Jeep. Marcel had gotten a Jeep.
Just a regular Jeep?
Out of the motor pool, but I certainly would carry all.
Okay, then it said, after Marcel had gone to Fort Worth and come back, it said Marcel challenged the CIC man who had remained at the base, asking to see your report. Marcel was told that the report was now classified, he wasn't authorized to see it, and it was on its way to the Pentagon. If he had a problem with that, he could take it up with the Pentagon.
Negative.
Okay. Okay. Blanchard was still at the base, ordered Marcel to accompany the rancher back to Corona. You said you never saw the, and then you said you were going too. You never saw the rancher from what you told me previously, or dealt with him personally. Excuse me.
I certainly don't remember ever meeting Mr. Brazil or Brazil, whatever his name was.
Okay, here's where they talk about the Geiger counter. You've already said that you didn't test anything for radioactivity because you didn't have anything to test it with.
No.
Then Marcel said there was a wire-like material that looked like monofilament fishing line. Do you recall any of that?
No. It sort of tickles a little bit of remembrance of, you know, all this junk, foil, I would call it, and the sticks and so forth. There probably was some line of some sort. They all hold it together, I guess.
What they...
What's supposed to have been with that?
Where they go with that later on is that this is where we developed fiber optics from, that this is, in fact, fiber optic cable, which was, of course, unheard of in 1947.
Yeah.
You know, we were still dealing with copper wire. And this was because you can bend light with fiber optics. And that's where the world got fiber optics, was from that material, was reverse engineering. So that's the implication.
Okay. I didn't see any of that. But there could have been some wire or nylon or something.
Okay. Together, Marcel and the counterintelligence agents walked around the entire perimeter looking at clues. It took them most of the morning to do it because of the size of the field. They started collecting material at the outer edge of the field and moved in toward the center. So this implies that this was a pretty major undertaking that you and Marcel, in order to examine all this stuff, took a long time because of the volume of the material. What I imply from that.
If it were true, well, you know the size of a rancher's field. There's sometimes a section that's a mile square.
Okay.
Maybe larger. No.
But there wasn't material all over it then.
That's negative. I mean,
you're right. You could walk into Mexico forever with.
Lord. Ranches are big down there in Mexico. No, I didn't spend any extended time down there at the site.
Okay, then on page 55 it talks about there was discussion that this may have been a foil parachute from a V-2. Were you aware that we were testing V-2s at that time out of White Sands?
Oh yeah, I went down to a couple of launches. One a BART and one launch. Yeah.
Okay, but there was no doubt in your mind that this was not part of a V-2 or any other type of rocket when you saw the debris from that in the field. Or
no, I never had any idea that anything with a V-2. They told us down there at the V-2 site that they weren't shooting them toward Roswell anyway. So, of course, they sent up a few of them, and they had an awful lot of aborts. They had to detonate them or pull the trigger shortly after they got off the launch pad, because they went awry, shall we say.
Yeah, apparently one of them went awry and went into Mexico, too.
Yes.
That's what I found out later.
No, I had no idea. No suspicion that it came from Holloman. Holloman? Was that what? No.
It was White Sand.
White Sand. Holloman,
right.
Alamogordo,
yeah. Okay. Marcel would take some of the samples to Fort Worth to show Ramey. In the meantime, the CIC man would head back to the crash site with some MPs, showing them exactly where this field was, and to round up the rancher. There are now additional questions for him. So this implies that after you came back, you took some MPs and went back up.
I went
there.
Back down there? No.
So you were just there the one original time. And you didn't go back with any MPs or the rancher or anybody else. Okay, Marcel would go to Fort Worth, and the CIC man would stay behind to lead the cleanup detail at the site. Another reason to send Marcel was that the CIC had their own chain of command. They reported to Kirtland in Albuquerque rather than Fort Worth. And although Blanchard outranked the CIC agent, meaning yourself, a phone call to Kirtland could have gotten his orders overturned. So this implied that you reported to Kirtland, which I know, of course, we did later when District 17 was formed.
Yeah. OSI.
Yeah, but at that time you didn't necessarily, the CIC did not report to Kirtland.
Kirtland was just another air base as far as we were concerned out of Roswell. They weren't part of SAC. They weren't anything to do with us CIC-wise or nothing.
Okay. Now, here's where Rickett comes into the picture. And Rickett makes a number of claims that basically, I don't know if he's...
Could you eat that a little bit, please?
I don't know if he... I'll have a... Sure. I did all mine.
the whole cup of sure.
I don't know if Rickett's still alive or not today.
No, Rickett dead now.
Okay, because I know he was in the,
no,
when he did those interviews.
He's dead, and I think maybe his wife might be now. We exchanged Christmas cards up until a couple of years ago, and then he died 2 or 3 years ago.
So he died 2 or 3 years ago. Okay. Okay, he makes a number of claims that at least Randall and Schmidt, and when I say Randall and Schmidt, I'm not trying to pick on them or to imply that they're doing anything different than many of these other people. They just happen to have the most current stuff on the street.
Trying to write a book.
Rickett, the provost marshal, page 61, according to Lewis Rickett, one of the CIC agents, he with the commander of the CIC shop, drew a staff car from the motor pool and returned to the crash site. They were followed by a second car carrying several MPs. An MP did ask for their identification because neither of the counterintelligence men were in uniform. So this would have been the second trip, which you said you did not take. But he did apparently go with you on the first trip.
Rickett,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And I assume at that time, just like in OSI, you didn't wear uniforms for the most part.
I didn't even have any uniform.
Yeah. I know the feel. I did for the first 8 years in OSI. I think the only uniform I had was my mess dress.
Uh-huh. Well.
But Rickett, the provost marshal and the senior counterintelligence man, walked the debris field, examined the wreckage. Rickett said it looked like metal and asked if it was radioactive, and you said it wasn't. That was page 62. This is on the what would have been on this now second trip again.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and on 63, as they prepared to leave the crash site, the CIC agent told Rickett, "You and I were never out here. You and I never saw this. You don't see any military people or military vehicles out here." Rickett agreed, saying, "Yeah, we never even left the office." Now, that's a little quote they have out in the, also in the...
And what page is that on?
That page is 63.
63. No. Now, I could have said something facetious like that after we got back to the office, after I was convinced that it was a weather balloon or some such contraption. I didn't know, naturally, I wasn't with.
Thank you, Mary. I appreciate that.
I could have said after we got back to the office, "Rickett, this has been a big boondoggle. I don't even want the 700 seat CIC headquarters to know we wasted our time on it. Forget we ever did it." I mean, I should have,
okay,
could have said, you know, in a facetious way, "Let's make out like it never existed because we're wasting our time." But I didn't see it in such a way that it would be, "This is so highly classified, we don't have anything to do with it."
Okay. On page 86, it said the counterintelligence people came into Roswell on a special flight from Andrews Army Airfield on July 8th. So this, to me, implies that this would have been your CIC headquarters also sent some other people out.
Yeah, there. Right. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. You said you'd have known if anybody from Washington had come into your area, so to speak. More likely on something.
Well,
like
I certainly hope so. We were secretive and so forth, but I think they would have touched base with me, since obviously if they talked to myself, he would have probably said something to begin with. But they would have wanted to know what I knew. No, I don't know who would have come from
course, Jack Williams was there. Jack could have been on some of these.
No, Jack was awfully young and sort of scatterbrained, if you well know. And I never relied much on him for anything. He's the type that read a book while he's on a road trip and driving his car. He'd finish a book while he's
while he's actually driving?
Oh, sure.
Sounds like the people driving on 95 in Washington there in the traffic.
No, there weren't many people on the road, so
Jack Rabbits. No, I no disrespect to Jack, but he just wasn't a solid citizen as far as I'm concerned. And if anybody from headquarters, CIC, came in, I'm positive they would have checked in with me.
Okay. The page that's kind of devoted to you, if you will, is on 171. And it said that Schmidt suggested the possibility that the crash had been a V2 or an A9, which is one of the derivatives of the V2 that we were playing with at that time. Schmidt asked if there had ever retrieved anything, if they'd ever retrieved anything like that anywhere in New Mexico. Never. He said that any rocket going off course would be destroyed by the range officer, and they wouldn't have wanted to risk injuries to civilians on the ground. Randall asked if he remembered any talk at all about a flying saucer crash, but he, meaning you, insisted that nothing at all happened. The former CIC man hadn't heard any rumors about a crash. All this, including the story shown on Unsolved Mysteries, was a bunch of garbage. Schmidt and Randall spent 2 hours with the man. He told them that any reports he wrote in the normal course of his duties were sent to Washington, not to 8th Air Force in Fort Worth. He was attached to the 509th, but his chain of command was different than theirs. Of course,
that's one of the few true stories, things they had in this book.
In fact, he talked about many things willingly. He said the ranks of CIC agents were all classified at the time, and I know that's the way it was in OSI for years. He didn't look right to have a, master sergeant investigating a colonel, so no one on the base, except for a few cleared to know had any idea of what rank he or any of the others were, and of course that's the way we did business. He provided the names of others who might be able to help, and he described his normal unclassified duties at Roswell, but according to him the crash and recovery had never happened. There was no investigation on the Foster Ranch, no mystery flights, and no discovery of alien bodies, nothing. Now we're getting to the part that they make you somewhat of a conspirator here. So Randall said he and Schmidt had literally 24 witnesses to the special flights out of Roswell and the special cleanup operation on the ranch. Something must have happened, the CIC man finally conceded, but I don't know what it was. As they left, the CIC man asked them, if you boys found something that affected national security, would you keep it to yourself?